And I'm really excited to be back in the studio with somebody else from the community, keeping up our conversation about this upcoming mayoral election that is definitely keeping people on their toes. So in the studio right now, we have Hannah Pepper Cunningham. She is a representative from European descent of their Political Action Committee. Political Education Committee. And welcome. Thanks for coming on.
Thanks for having me. Do I need to move this?
No, you're good.
Okay, great.
Yeah, so I guess just to start off, can you just let people know what European descent is?
Sure. So European descent is an organization that formed in the late 1980s and that formed out of a relationship with the People's Institute for Survival and Beyond and calls for white folks engaged in anti-racist work and anti-racist organizing to take anti-racist organizing to larger groups of white people. So we've been around with different ebbs and flows ever since, with the goals of organizing for collective liberation from racism and white supremacy, within white folks in New Orleans, and always working in multiracial coalitions for racial justice here in the city and beyond.
Awesome. So what is the Political Education Committee working on?
So the Political Education Committee right now is we've been working on an election strategy for the past few months, as it is the election season. And our commitment to working around this election really came out of a study group we did in the spring around the Movement for Black Lives policy platform, which is a really seminal visionary document that you can check out by Googling Movement for Black Lives policy platform. I'm sure many listeners have already spent time with it. And it was really, really detailed and thought out and thorough visioning of what are the policy changes that are needed to move us towards a world of racial justice, economic justice, and knowing that not everything can be accomplished through policy change, but the engineers and the writers of the platform are really specific that policy change is one of the avenues that we need to go down, that it actually can be a visionary avenue to go down. So we did a study around this platform, and the platform calls for people to endorse the platform and to work for it. So we started to say, well, we're coming on an election season. How can we really take the calls that this platform has put out, and how can we start to talk to our base, which again is largely white folks? And over the past 2 years, our base and the people who have been coming to our meetings have really been expanding exponentially with the really due to the work of the Black Lives Matter movement and visibility of police killings and other heightened visibility of institutionalized racism. And when I say heightened visibility, I mean heightened visibility to white people who may not have been seeing it before. With the past election, which would happen at Standing Rock. And so we saw that we have this moment that we have a large mass of folks who are starting to have a greater commitment to working for racial justice. And how can we start to really illustrate the connections between individual policy issues and white supremacy and help to elect officials who will move us closer to racial and economic justice?
Awesome. So from there, can you just speak a little bit about what that platform looks like?
The Movement for Black Lives policy platform?
Yeah, or like how those connections are. If you want to start just with what your recommendations are, that could work too.
Yeah, so I'll say that the main areas of the platform, again, are the war on black people, reparations, invest, divest, economic justice, community control, and political power. And again, I would definitely recommend a deeper reading for anyone who's interested. And a lot of some of the ideas that came out of that we were interested in looking into are also around things that are specifically happening in our town. So we're looking at how can we move from regressive taxation to progressive taxation? How are we moving? How are we investing in jobs, in housing, in education as public safety measures, and divesting in policing in prisons? So those are some of the, there's lots that we drew out from that platform, but those are a couple. And so what we took on in election season was that we also have been working in concert and in coalition and getting a lot of feedback from racial justice groups in the city that we organize. So that would be Vote, Stand With Dignity, Congresso, Breakout, the Jane Place Neighborhood Sustainability Initiative, the People's Assembly, working with the Power Coalition, and also really informed by the Town Hall for Better Jobs that happened in the spring, which Step Up, Fight for 15, Unite Here, Utno, Stand, and others were involved in. And what we did was we crafted sort of in conversation with a lot of those organizations, we crafted a rubric for what are the things that are important to us in evaluating candidates, and how can we understand who we can endorse and who we can get behind for office based on a series of criteria. So I could go through criteria or...
Yeah, I think that would be good. I guess before that, though, I'm just wondering, just for people who... like, can you just speak a little bit to like why it should be significant for white people to work for racial justice, especially if they feel like their situation in the city is, you know, like when you talk about crime, for example, you know, or like these other things that it sounds like you're talking about taking police off the street or like that type of stuff.
Yeah. So one of the things, I'm glad you brought up crime, because that's one of the things that's been actually most that's central to our work right now, and that's been most troubling about this campaign, has been the focus of a lot of candidates, especially I'd put Charbonnet and Gia Russo in that category, taking these tough on crime stances. And we see those as really dangerous because they reinforce narratives of public safety that put the needs of tourists and business owners above middle and low income New Orleans residents, really of all races. But the what has been shown over and over again is that increased policing, prisons, and surveillance are really fracturing our communities, and that they're reinforcing racial division between those Black and brown communities that are most targeted by policing, prisons, and surveillance, and those of us who are white folks who have been told that makes us safer, when really there is not evidence that increasing policing, prisons, and surveillance makes anyone more safe. In fact, it's the contrary. And again, really emphasizing that Black and brown people in the city are the most impacted and the most harmed by those measures. But that, again, ultimately, the only people who are really benefiting from that are, again, business owners, tourists, and really high-income New Orleanians. So ultimately, these narratives, because they rely on racialized tropes of crime and ideas of public safety, there's this idea that I think especially exists among white folks that more police will create more public safety, and that the reason that there is continued harm in New Orleans, the reason that people continue to not feel safe, is because somehow the NOPD is underfunded, or somehow the NOPD doesn't have enough officers on the street. And again, Gia Russo and Charbonnet are really putting that continuing to put that narrative forward in a way that's pretty terrifying. And so we're trying to really shift that, and calling on candidates to show us how they will invest in addressing root causes of crime and harm, which again, lack of access to housing, lack of access to job and meaningful work, poverty, lack of access to education, lack of community control of schools. So, yeah.
Yeah. Good. So what were the criteria that you were looking at to evaluate the candidates?
So we had our first area was in jails, and we were we would not endorse anyone who was not going to commit to the 1438 bed cap in Orleans Parish prison, and we need people to commit to resist any efforts of the sheriff to expand beyond that. We were looking for a commitment to the full and expanded enforcement of the municipal bail reform ordinance, which is making sure that people are not held in jail because they can't pay their bond. And we're also looking for real accountability to the ongoing deaths and suicides that are happening inside of OPP. So as jail, we already talked a little bit about policing, but we're really looking for candidates who are going to oppose Mayor Landrieu's surveillance plan, who are going to support the removal of state troopers from the French Quarter, and again, who are redirecting public safety resources from policing and surveillance to the root issues of crime. So again, taking up this issue from the Movement for Black Lives policy platform of invest and divest. We have a lot of concerns about the district attorney Cannizzaro, anything from his overuse of punitive measures to his falsifying subpoenas affecting survivors of domestic abuse and rape. So we had some questions about where candidates stand with regards to the DA's office, with regards to Cannizzaro. We were again really informed by the work of groups like Stand With Dignity and the organizers of the Town Hall for Better Jobs. We're looking at what candidates are doing around meaningful work and living wage. Are candidates going to not only commit to a living wage of $15 an hour for Orleans Parish workers, but really commit to taking the state legislature to task? Because right now there is a state law that restricts the city's ability to raise the minimum wage. So to be able to raise the minimum wage here, city council members are going to have to engage with the state legislature to get that legislation shifted. We want to know what careers the candidates want to recruit to the cities, what industries were concerned with an overinvestment in the tourism industry and service industry, and wanting to see candidates shifting towards other industries, places that are offering opportunities of career advancement, and what are people doing to really ensure that current New Orleanian residents are having access to those jobs? What are commitments to combating racism and specifically anti-Black racism within hiring processes? Is that something that we see consistently happening, including among city contractors? Supporting hospitality workers' rights to paid sick days. So that's sort of the jobs and living wage area. We worked with, again, the Jane Place Neighborhood Sustainability Initiative to sort of figure out what we're looking for in terms of how are candidates supporting affordable housing. We know for a lot of our base, and really for people across the city, affordable housing is really a crisis right now. So what are candidates doing to provide permanently affordable housing units in Orleans Parish? As I'm sure folks have seen, a lot of the developments that were built in the past 10 years had limits on how long their units would remain affordable, and a lot of those are running out right now. It just happened at the American Can Company last year, and people are being kicked out of their affordable housing units as those get turned over. So we're looking for what are specific plans to help renters. We're looking for people who are going to support just cause eviction protection. And we're looking also about how candidates are addressing emergency shelter access for people who are experiencing homelessness, and how an issue in the city is access to emergency shelters for people who are transgender and gender nonconforming. So we really need candidates to take a strong stance that they will advocate specifically for those populations. Just a couple more. One thing that was really important to us was coming off of Landrieu's administration, in which the city government has increasingly invested in tourist experiences over the needs of New Orleans residents. We wanted to really see a demonstration of candidates that they're going to prioritize the needs of residents over tourists. So how are candidates specifically committing to investing city funds towards improving the lives of New Orleanians? Are they investing in jobs with living wages, job protections, affordable housing? Are they investing in transportation? Are they investing in these over measures that are designed for tourist experiences, which is a lot of what we've seen under Landrieu? We had some specific questions and concerns about the ability of musician, artists, service industry workers, and traditional culture bearers who create the culture and experience and of the city's historic neighborhoods and are a lot of what the Landrieu administration has been selling, who are now unable to live in these historic neighborhoods. So what are candidates doing to ensure that musicians, artists, service industry workers, and culture bearers are able to stay where they're living? And what are candidates doing to ensuring that traditions like second lines have access to public space and that street performers have access to public space? I mentioned earlier that we're looking for candidates who can shift to moving our city from regressive taxation to progressive taxation. So for people who aren't familiar with it, regressive taxation, the tax rate decreases as the amount that's being taxed increases. So that's taxing a lower tax rate for people earning at a higher income. And progressive taxation is the opposite of that. And that's what we're looking to move towards. We've seen New Orleans and other cities move towards more austerity politics, where we're decreasing the use of progressive taxation, and what that looks like ends up being a lot of privatization, which we've seen in the city. It looks like public infrastructure really being stripped, there being less social support, and residents being forced to pay more for basic social services. So we're really concerned about the ways that the city has been moving in that direction and are looking for candidates who are going to really support progressive taxation. Another area that was really key that we didn't have a lot of budge on for evaluating candidates is around areas of migrant justice and candidates who are going to commit to holding the NOPD accountable to their current policy of not collaborating with ICE. What are they doing to hold the city accountable to bias-free policing, and what are they doing to protect and stand for undocumented people within New Orleans? And we had questions about environmental health and safety. Mm-hmm. Are candidates going to oppose Entergy's expansion plan in New Orleans East? What are candidates proposing on a local level to encourage safer development and flood mitigation? What are candidates proposing for flood infrastructure? Obviously, we've seen in recent months that what we have now is insufficient, and that we want candidates who are committed to incorporating multiple lines of defense, parks, green infrastructure, updated zoning. We have seen a threat recently with lead poisoning in the city's water lines. Do candidates have specific proposals to what they can do to mitigate that right now? We're looking at hurricane and disaster evacuation plans, really making sure candidates have plans that meet the needs of vulnerable residents, including poor and working class people, elderly people, people with disability, children, people experiencing homelessness. And that's getting to the end of our long list of criteria, but we also were looking at how candidates are prioritizing mental health in the city and what candidates are doing to provide meaningful employment and welcoming spaces for youth in New Orleans, as well as their attitudes towards the education system. It's a priority for us that candidates support bringing charter schools back into a public education system under local control, and that they have real ideas around how schools in Orleans Parish can become more accountable to students and parents. So, yeah.
Wow, that is long.
Yeah, and I skipped some.
No, I mean, I think it's really great. I mean, the last guest we had in here spoke about how I think he said only 60% of people that were running for the city council actually had printed out any platforms.
Yeah.
And so, like, given that, you know, I guess I'm just curious how you went about this information gathering, and is it also going to be put up, like, as a chart?
Yeah, great questions. So we went out about it a couple of ways. I mean, we had a research team that did a lot of the, going on people's websites, looking up who people were getting funded by, reading all the press coverage. But really, our main well, not our main, but our other source of information was that we made a candidate questionnaire that's about as long or longer than the criteria that I just presented. And again, that candidate questionnaire we made in conversation with again groups including Vote Stand, Congresso, Jane Place Neighborhood Sustainability Initiative, so we could get feedback on specific areas that we weren't necessarily experts in, but these groups are. So we had this super long questionnaire that we sent out to candidates, a lot of whom don't necessarily have the name recognition of European descent. And you know, in some ways, it's a big ask. It's a very long questionnaire, and we had a lot, and we wanted to shy away from doing yes or no answers. So we just did a lot of following up, a lot of tweeting at candidates. But we got a lot of answers, and we got answers from candidates who we weren't that familiar with, but who we got really excited about their platforms, and we got answers from candidates that we didn't have as much information about prior, and that was really exciting. Some of the
you got some highlights for us.
Yeah, someone that we're really excited about endorsing, who's actually, I think, in y'all's district.
Y'all like Tulane?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes. Great. You're all our District A. Maybe. Okay. Whoever's listening is District A. And we're really excited by...
Yes, I think it is A.
Okay. Yeah. Well, this is great. We're really excited by the candidate, Toya Washington Kendrick. Her messaging has been consistently on point with our values, and we were really impressed by the thoroughness and specificity of her platforms around jobs and education as public safety measures, and her commitment to the sustainable and well-researched introduction of restorative justice measures into the DA's office. We're excited by her commitment to job creation in sectors that are outside of real estate, construction, and tourism. She specifically named environmental jobs and technology as her areas of focus, and we saw in that, as well as through her commitment to expanded RTA lines and low-income housing, that she's really committed to centering the needs of residents above tourists. And it also has some really specific positions that are very well thought out and in alignment with our politics around youth opportunities, workforce development. So we're really impressed by her and really believe that she will maintain a conversation with racial and economic justice groups when elected. And so we're really encouraging for any people living in District A who are listening to this, we're really encouraging people not just to vote for Toya Washington Kendrick, but really to campaign around her, to get a sign, to give money to her campaign. She is running against one of the candidates in this race that we are most concerned about, that we're really worried about, who is Joe Giarrusso. So we're not only endorsing candidates, we're also endorsing candidates. And Joe Giarrusso is one of the people that we're really trying to put it out there that we really think is going to be a threat to our city. So despite Giarrusso is running by a Democrat, but some things we want to point is he's being heavily backed by Republican interests in the city. He is maybe the most pro-policing candidate we're seeing. He's pledging to hire at least 300 additional NOPD officers. Some other things that are really concerning to us about him is that he's been endorsed by the DA Cannizzaro. And just to give a little context, is that some other things that concern us is highlighting a little bit of Giarrusso's family connections and histories. Multiple of his family members have been high-ranking NOPD officers, as well as previous council members who pushed for expanded NOPD capacity. And the city's original adoption of stop-and-frisk policing was actually his grandfather's policy. So for all these reasons, he's one of the most concerning candidates to us in the race. He has a lot of money. His signs are everywhere. And this is, again, one of the reasons that we're glad that there is a candidate in this race that we're really excited for. And we believe it's really important to support Choya Washington Kendrick, who is a lesser known candidate, but whose platforms and positions can really advance racial justice, economic justice, overall well-being for our city in our against Joe Giarrusso, who we know is going to threaten the lives of New Orleanians and especially put Black and brown people in our city in danger. So
yeah, so District A, I think the dividing line is Napoleon Avenue up to like Holly Grove and also including Carrollton, obviously, Tulane. And then all the way north, there's a little bit of the lakefront. City Park is included, some Lakeview areas, and then looks like maybe even some... maybe the fairground? It goes like in the middle a little bit. Yeah, it's got a weird little jag in the middle there. So yeah, District A. Okay, cool. Awesome. Any other city council things really jumping out at you guys?
That were, we are, so for at large, we're endorsing, for Division One, we're endorsing Dr. Joseph Bowie.
Okay.
We're really appreciated his holistically progressive stances addressing root issues of crime, his stances on living wages, on community. He talks specifically about community wealth building, which is also something that we are studying about in the Movement for Black Lives policy platform. That's really exciting to us. He has really well thought out policies, platforms on affordable housing and migrant rights, and we're impressed that he already has voted against HB 453, which would have made sanctuary cities liable for damages caused by undocumented people, and he also voted against HB 1148, which would have withheld certain state funds from sanctuary cities. So we're really excited about him. We loved his questions on the his answers in the questionnaire, and we're impressed by his track record. We know that Helena Moreno is another popular candidate in that race, and while we believe that in the state legislature, she's had a great track record regarding equal rights for women, protection for domestic violence survivors, voting against anti-immigrant legislation. Within the city, we're concerned by her stances on policing, by her prioritizing tourist needs over residency, and by her real estate background and its potential impacts on gentrification. So then in District Division 2, we are endorsing Jason Williams. We think he's the strongest candidate in the race. And I will say that we're endorsing him with some caveats, because in his last term, we did disagree with him on several issues, including voting to legalize short-term rentals. So we're endorsing him, but we're doing so with some real reservations and hope that he hears that and can stay accountable to his constituents. We want to say that while we're not endorsing David Gregory Novak, we're excited about a lot of the things on his platform. And you asked earlier if we're going to share out. We're sharing out all the candidates' responses to our questionnaire on our website, which I don't have the link for, but we'll go live tomorrow or Wednesday, and I can I'll find it before the end of this thing. But yeah, so we encourage people to read that
On the European Dissent website, or is it a new website?
It's a new website that's just for this.
Cool.
District B. Stay tuned. We're still in some further conversations about who we're going to endorse in this race. We will say we are unendorsing Seth Bloom. There's a lot that concerns us about him, including that his campaign is being run by someone who has been explicitly racist and anti-racial justice organizer in the city, and that Seth Bloom explicitly came out against the $15 per hour minimum wage. And you can find more information about why we're unendorsing him on our website, and we will have our endorsement up there by tomorrow. District C, we're not endorsing anyone. And again, you can find out more information, why not, on our website. We're a little confused and not sure that we can trust either candidate. So we're sort of leaving that one be. But again, the information, Kristen Gislason Palmer did fill out our questionnaire. And in some ways, her questionnaire answers were impressive, but they didn't match up with her track record, which we were less impressed by. So check out the website. You can see her answers. In District D, we're endorsing Jared Brissett. Joel Jackson also had, we rated him favorably, but we are really a fan of Brissett. He's the only council member who voted against the short-term rental legalization last year and has consistently, supported his stances. And we believe it's important to have that sort of longevity of someone who is left-leaning, who is supporting progressive issues in the city. District E, we're not endorsing anyone because there was no one that we really felt great about their answers about. There were particular concerns around policing and environmental justice. We really wanted to endorse someone, but we didn't find that there was someone that we were able to endorse.
Okay, really cool. So I'm going to take a quick break and get back and hear about the mayors. Yeah. I'm excited. We're about to hear what did the people say about what did the mayor's candidates say?
Yeah, so we got there's a lot of super interesting people running for mayor.
Yeah, that is true.
And we got responses on our survey from...
How many people is it now?
We have on our list, I think Scurlock was he disqualified or pulled out of the race? Maybe he didn't. But we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18.
Somewhere wow, 18 candidates.
18. And of those, 6 answered our questionnaire.
Uh-huh.
So that was great. And one of the people, Cantrell was the only one of the really front-running mayoral candidates who answered our questionnaire. And while we definitely don't agree with her on everything, we are encouraged by her campaign, and we have decided to endorse her in this race. Some of the reasons that we're endorsing her are that she signed Step Up Louisiana's Economic Justice 3-point platform. She's committed to maintaining the bed cap OPP, and she's committed to bail reform. Unfortunately, she has not committed to opposing Mayor Andrews' surveillance plan, but she is far more circumspect on the use of surveillance technology than any of the other front-running candidates, and that's very important to us. And again, as I said, we're really looking for candidates who are going to invest in addressing root causes of crime as a means from divesting in policing and prisons. Some of you might have heard Cantrell's famous quote, which is, "Nothing stops a bullet like a job." And I do think that this is more than lip service for her, as she has demonstrated a real commitment to job creation, which again is really important to us in our evaluation process. And she has proposals to create jobs in areas of advanced manufacturing, digital media, renewable energy, and water management. And that's encouraging to us because those provide a variety of jobs that are going to provide good careers to New Orleanians, that are going to give opportunities, again, outside of the tourism and service industry sector, and that also seem in line with the needs in the city. So she pledged in our survey to be a quote-unquote aggressive promoter of local workers and local hiring, and we hope that if elected, that we hope that she's elected, because we really want to hold her feet to the fire on that one and really return to that pledge. So making sure that she stays true to her word on local hiring and creating job opportunities for New Orleanians, and also to combating the racism and anti-Black racism that exists within hiring processes. So there's going to be more explanation of our endorsement of her on our website, but we feel really solid about that. And we also want to be really explicit again that we are unendorsing Desiree Charbonnet. She is also one of the most concerning candidates to us in the race. We're deeply concerned with her overemphasis on the tough on crime narratives that we talked about before, and that call for increased policing and surveillance that cause harm to communities in New Orleans, especially Black and Brown communities. So some things that are red flags for us are: she specifically advocated for more police. She specifically advocated for the increased militarization of police. She specifically advocated for increased surveillance. So those are very concerning to us. We're also concerned by her relationship to development, developers, and contracting, and the way that that's going to affect gentrification in the city, the way that's going to continue the prioritization of tourism over residents. The fact that she's endorsed by Cannizzaro is a huge red flag for us. And we also want to add that we are also unendorsing Michael Bagnaris, who has a similar platform around crime as Charbonnet. So we really, and Charbonnet is leading in funding in this race. If you heard, signs are all over town. So again, we are encouraging people not just to vote for Cantrell, but to campaign for Cantrell, to support her campaign, to put up signs, to really support her in this race, because we do stand behind her as a candidate, and we really are deeply concerned about Charbonnet. So that's where we're at with mayoral. Again, there's a lot of inspiring and interesting platforms from other candidates out there. There was no one of the less front-running candidates that we felt we could really get strategically behind as a holistic candidate. But again, we're going to share everyone's answers on our website. So we encourage people to check that out, because there's interesting political visions out there, and there's interesting people who are going to continue to be players in this city. So please do check that out.
Okay, cool. So just in our last few minutes here, I wonder if you can just speak to both people who, either from a political point of view or just an apathy point of view, don't really understand why voting might be significant or important.
Yeah. I think that there are a lot of misconceptions and narratives out there that, because I think there's an acknowledgement among a lot of people, among people who identify as progressive or leftist or radical, people who see the ways that our system is stacked, the way that our system is institutionalized white supremacy, who say that the system is wrong, therefore the system, the system is broken, therefore I will not engage in a broken system by voting. I really want to push back on that. And just coming back again to the Movement for Black Lives policy platform, and what the point that they make really clearly, I'm going to just actually read a direct quotation, which is: we recognize that not all of our collective needs and visions can be translated into policy, but we understand that policy change is one of the many tactics necessary to move us towards the world we envision. I think it's I think that those of us who are committed to racial and economic justice in this city, who are committed to making this a city that is livable and that promotes the well-being of the people who live here, have a responsibility to vote, have a responsibility to engage in this process, have a responsibility to do the research. And we know that research is hard, which is why we've done a lot of this research for people who wanna vote but don't know who to vote for. So I think that it's important to get out there and to engage in this way as one of a multifaceted approaches to how we're gonna affect lasting change in our city and our country.
Right. And that's kind of the other thing I wanted to ask you, which is how do you guys envision holding these people accountable after the elections are done? And we're also probably heading towards a runoff situation.
Yes, definitely should say that. Yeah. We see our election strategy as through October 14th and beyond, because it is certain that multiple of these races will go to a runoff. And yeah, we see this as the beginning that, not a beginning, because it's not a beginning. We're building on the work of many people who came before us, and we also didn't begin here. But this is a portal for continued civic engagement and for continuing to make these connections between policy issues and white supremacy, not just for our base, but also for elected officials. And we will continue to come out to public meetings. We will continue to stand and campaign and protest at city council. We will continue to write and call our officials, and we will continue to, and that's why our endorsements also are, who are the people that we want to be in conversation with? Who are the people that we want to push? Who are the people that we believe will continue to stay in conversation with people of New Orleans?
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, is there anything else you wanted to add? Because the other person's not here yet.
Oh, okay. Well, I can get the... I can get our website.
Yeah.
I would like to share.
Sure. Here, I'll just put a little music on.
Okay, cool.
All right, so what's the website if people are interested?
So the website, and if for any reason this changes, I will...
We'll get the information out there.
It's Euro, E-U-R-O, hyphen, dissent, and that's D-I-S-S-E-N-T. Probably should have said that at the beginning. Euro, hyphen, dissent, D-I-S-S-E-N-T, hyphen, C-C, that's two C's, 4Y, dot Squarespace, dot com.
Cool.
So I'll share it with you.
Yeah, and I'm going to try to get this interview up as well on our Tumblr, wpldnews.tumblr.com, and people can share that around as well. Thank you so much for your work and for the detailed way that you guys are really going about that. It's heartening to me, and I'm sure a lot of other people are going to benefit from that, so I appreciate that.
Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, thank you so much. Okay, and we're just rolling along here this morning on a Monday with